Right now in the G&M Family Market, we welcome back to the show from Vice Sports, our friend David Roth. David, good afternoon.
Hi, Rich.
I feel so much pressure because usually I assume no one is listening to this show, but I know today at least a couple of people are.
It's the only way that I can do it is if I just assume that it's you and me talking and maybe like your producer can also hear us talking but isn't paying that much attention. But I know I have confirmed via text that my father-in-law is listening to this broadcast right now, possibly while working on his shed. Wally, good luck with the shed.
So I don't know whether to tell him that this is as good as it gets or that I'm just having a bad day. It may depend on how he feels about it.
I think he's already very familiar with my work. I would say probably punishingly so. So you're going to look really good by comparison. You're going to seem really fresh, whereas he's heard most of these bits before.
Well, where to begin? Let's start with Summer League basketball. Let's start with the present-day Summer League, where Lonzo Ball took the world by storm. And as you wrote earlier this week, it's a league that's kind of made for a guy like him.
It seems like it. I mean, in the basic sense in that it's like guard dominated in the way that it always has been, but summer league ball, I have it's a problematic fave for me because it's not great basketball and it's often really bad basketball, but I sort of love it dearly and I always enjoy watching it very much. It's like a sort of a crappier version of whatever the dominant style is in the NBA at that time. And right now when there's this like sort of fluid Warriors style, you know, passing driven offense, it's perfect for him. It's just also because it's so janky and because the defense is so bad, it's really hard to know how good he is or isn't. You're just mostly sort of enjoying watching him throw baseball passes, if you're me.
Now, we talked about this a little bit yesterday on the show. Are you able to compartmentalize and separate his obvious, wonderful talent from the idiocy that is his dad?
Yeah, I'm working on it. I think that's very much a work in progress. It's hard. Like, I find his dad, I think of as being like a... He's like a professional wrestler that has taken a wrong turn on the way to the arena. And he doesn't break character. I don't particularly like his character, but that's what he's doing. He's the heel. I'm way sicker of him than I would like to be. Like, I'd love to be able to just think that I was in on the joke and laugh it off, but nothing sends me mashing a mute button faster than that guy showing up on a television, for sure.
Now, Summer League basketball, it's great now, but even better a few years back as you reminisce about the glory days when Nate Robinson owned the world.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was for me, I guess this is the thing I wrote about it today, and I think it winding up being a story about how being in your late 30s makes you nostalgic and sad for when you weren't in your late 30s, which is maybe something that I could have worked on. But what I remember about the Nate Rob days, he had his jersey retired in the Summer League, actually, in 2008. This extremely Summer League-y ceremony that involved a bunch of interns, like, tacking it to a wall and then the jersey gradually falling down over the course of the game. but back then, you could only really watch the league on a stream, an online stream, and there wasn't much, like, technology-wise, my computer and where I was at work. I couldn't really... the experience looked the way that it felt. Like, the stream was crappy. It was hard to tell what was happening. The gym was mostly empty, and Nate Robinson was taking 35 shots a game. But I loved it. I mean, it was just like what I imagine a extremely loose pickup game between very, very good basketball players would be like.
Last time you were on, we talked a little bit about the possibility of Chris Christie going into sports talk, and then, he did it. You got to hear it. How gloriously awful was it?
I got to hear it. What a treat it was for me. Yeah, it. What's funny about it is that he's not actually that bad at it. Like, it would be one thing if he got on there and was a total amateur and sounded sort of like a larger version of what I sound like now. But as it was, he's very polished. I mean, he's been an attorney. He's been a public figure. And he's also guested on New York area sports talk radio shows, because he basically stopped governing in like 2015, like stopped showing up to work. And so he's been, you know, that leaves a lot of time on your hands to sit on a beach or, you know, yell at a school teacher or whatever, you know, rattles your saber. But he's done he's subbed for Boomer Esiason a bunch of times on the morning show here. And he's not bad. He's just not great. But he's definitely got the personality type for it. Like, I can sort of see how it would work out for him. I think he's got a better chance of being a successful sports talk radio guy than he does of ever winning any elected office.
Well, you know, if he needs a co-host, we've got a governor up here, and I think Paul LePage might be a great companion for him because LePage went out when they tried to bring the Patriots Super Bowl trophy here to Maine. LePage said no, he didn't want it here because he doesn't like the way the Patriots do things. So he's already got that hot take mentality.
That is one of the most thermonuclear takes I can imagine. How are you an elected official in New England and you don't like the Patriot way?
It boggles the mind.
I'm just some jerk from New York that calls your show every now and then. Like, I'm allowed to say I don't like Bill Belichick that much. That is, I mean, honestly, that's, I think, the thing about Paul LePage that I respect the most. Like, that is seriously one of the wildest things that I could imagine a politician doing. And I follow the news. So I know.
Tip of the iceberg with our governor. We're talking with David Roth of Vice Sports here on Downtown. Is there anything more wonderful to see in this crazy mixed up world we're in than the resting Trump truck face?
Oh my gosh. It's terrifying, and I hope that someday, years hence, we can all look back and be like, well, that was a weird thing that happened to us and our country. You know, looking back from a future where somehow our institutions and norms are functioning again. But man, giving him stuff to play around with, it's like, it's not worth it, but it's sort of worth it. Like, wherever he, you know, whenever he's down in the dumps, they just like bring a dump truck to the White House and he like climbs around on it. It's like, oh, I'm in a truck coming through, you know, just like, it's exactly how my nephew would do it.
And as great as the look is on Trump's face every time he gets behind the wheel, the look on the face of Mike Pence as he watched in horror was priceless.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's like Jason Bateman's performance in Arrested Development. Like, that's the whole thing, is just looking like you just stepped in something really bad. And he kind of looks like that all the time. Like, that's sort of like Pence's angle. But man, the photos of Trump like giving a thumbs up and like yelling from behind the wheel while Pence stands idly by, like, terrific, sir. Fantastic. It's just such a delight to me.
I think you have just found the perfect metaphor for everybody in the administration. They just stepped in something really bad.
I thought you were going to say that broadly there's an Arrested Development parallel.
Well, may go there too. I was reminiscing through your Twitter feed to one of the great pieces you did a while back, and that's baseball players and their Muppet twins. So amazing, although I have to say my all-time favorite, Terry Francona and was it Bunsen Honeydew?
Bunsen Honeydew. It's the only one of them that really is like a one-to-one comp. Like, if Terry Francona was made of felt and didn't wear a hat.
Well, it was great.
That was a fun night online. It seems like I went back and looked at it recently because Facebook, in the way that it does, and it reminds you that you've reached the anniversary of something. You know, usually it's like 2 years ago you were on vacation, and then in this case it was like 2 years ago I stayed up real late comparing baseball players to Muppets while people made suggestions on Twitter. Like, that's not necessarily the sort of thing you want to be reminded of, but it was a fun night.
David, while we talk sports personalities in the tri-state area, tell us a little bit about the wonder of John Sterling and the fact that you get to hear him on a regular basis.
Oh, man. I mean, again, the privilege is all mine. He is, the last real avant-gardist working in sports radio. It's just, I tried to explain him to a coworker the other day, and Vice is not, as a workplace, it's, you know, there's wonderful, a lot of great people there. There are not a lot of people that listen to Yankee games on the radio. And even I'm a Mets fan. I don't listen to that many of them. But trying to explain what John Sterling does, which is making up these little rhyming slogans for players whenever they hit home runs that are usually built around like old-timey songs or like 1980s Broadway shows. Like, just whatever the opposite of a touchstone is for a baseball fan, that's the reference that he's making.
I love it.
It's amazing. Yeah, there's a robust discussion in the office today about what he's going to like sing when Todd Frazier homers. There's a lot of options.
Why do I think he's going to channel Kelsey Grammer and do a little, you know, scrambled eggs?
That was definitely a joke with me. That would be the best. My real thought is that he's going to be like, it's a hot toddy or something, you know. But it's that's sort of, you know, that is the level that we're at. Getting into that Sterling brain space is really liberating. You just have to think the corniest thought that you possibly can and then say it out loud to see how it sounds. And like, and if it sounds kind of weird, then you're right there.
It's a thing of beauty. David, I probably shouldn't ask this if your father-in-law is indeed listening, but when are you coming to Maine this summer?
He knows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we weren't going to surprise him towards the end of August. But we are already making plans and doing our best. We insist on driving, and we want to take longer time just because it's, you know, the fun part of being in Maine is not being on the Maine Turnpike. It's certainly not like driving across the entire length of Connecticut. But so we've got, I think, 8 or 9 days coming at the end of August, which I'm already, I spend about an hour thinking about them every day.
We opened the government up again, I think that's a good thing. I'm not sure, but you know, because LePage and Christie went in together on that whole debacle.
Yeah, it's great to shut a government down during the summer. It's again, like, this is for guys that perceive of their jobs as basically being like going on TV a few times a week and then otherwise just knocking off early. Like, a government shutdown probably doesn't seem that strange to them, but man, it was really strange in New Jersey. We were driving into Pennsylvania that weekend, July 4th weekend, when the government was shut down, and there's all the signs on the highway that are usually like, terrible traffic ahead, please turn around, that in this case we're all blinking, like, all New Jersey state parks closed. Like, just seeing those words is like, I mean, I've lived in that state for my whole youth. I've been around there for most of my adult life. I've never seen it before.
I would be remiss if I didn't ask this before we let you go. When you get that, ultimately what's going to happen, your own cable TV show, will it be called, based on what I've seen in social media, David Roth's personal meat party?
That was the thing. I think I would actually want to call it That's Preposterous with David Roth and have it be like a Stephen A. Smith style show. I've given this some, but to give your question, to address that troubling phrase, that is a term that I use. My wife is a pescatarian. I do eat meat. When she's not here, I will sometimes make steak for myself or something, just as a little treat. And I used the phrase personal meat party to describe it one time and was told that I must never say those words ever again. Quite reasonably. But yeah, then I referred to yesterday as a solo beef demolition, and that's just that on it.
I'm glad we could be here to coax it out of you one more time.
Yeah, thanks. I'm so happy for your listeners getting to hear those terrible words. I really apologize.
Kind of a service we provide here on the program. David, as always, it's great talking with you. If we don't catch you before you come to Maine, have a wonderful time in our state. If you feel the urge to drive 3 more hours north, please do come by.
We'll be up there, man. If we can find a way to get to Bangor, I'd love to see you. But, yeah, thanks always for having me. Have a great one.
Thanks, David. We'll see you soon. David Roth, Vice Sports on Downtown.